You're listening to The Horn, the head-on radio network.
The son who disappeared a week ago and is believed to have been kidnapped. A new audit finds that nearly...
This is the Quality News Network. President Bush says Congress cannot stop his plan to send more than 20,000 extra troops to Iraq. The first group of U.S. soldiers for the so-called surge arrived in Baghdad today. The U.S. says it doesn't know how long the surge in American forces will last. Iraqi leaders say it should be for at least 6 months. In Iraq, the country's foreign minister continues to demand the release of 5 Iranians seized by U.S. soldiers last week from diplomatic offices. It is the second time the U.S. has abducted Iranians. Baghdad officials say were invited to be there. In Washington, the Bush administration says though it would prefer to use diplomacy with Iran, it has not ruled out military action. Today, Defense Secretary Robert Gates said escalating naval strength in the Persian Gulf is meant to send a message to Iran that U.S. forces are not overextended in the two wars they are already fighting. In Baghdad, Saddam Hussein's 2 co-defendants in his war crimes trial were hanged this morning. One of the convicts was the former dictator's half-brother. Some of the nation's largest law firms are calling for the ouster of a Pentagon official who urged Americans to pull their business out of companies who allow their attorneys to do pro bono work for Guantanamo Bay prisoners. Charles Stimson of the Pentagon is in charge of military detainees. There have been 770 prisoners in Guantanamo. Only 10 have been charged with a crime. In Jerusalem, Israeli Prime Minister Ehud Olmert, Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas, and U.S. State Secretary Condoleezza Rice have agreed to meet to resurrect Middle East peace talks. The date and place have not yet been released. In Washington, Vice President Dick Cheney's former chief of staff goes to trial tomorrow in the CIA leak case. Louis Scooter Libby is charged with lying and obstructing the investigation. He's expected to subpoena the vice president to testify on his behalf. 3 days of fierce winter storms have killed 21 people in 4 states. Hundreds of thousands remain without power. States included Oklahoma, Missouri, Texas, and New York. Temperatures are predicted to be below zero tonight. In Richmond, California, firefighters are battling a blaze in an oil refinery, which broke out early this morning. A level 3 emergency has been declared. No evacuations yet, but residents have been ordered to stay inside. Throughout the nation today, Americans are commemorating the birth of Martin Luther King, Jr. You're listening to the Quality News Network. Science and business are next.
Most people would rather have a root canal than go to a dealer to buy a car. But you can turn dread into joy when you learn how to play the car buying game. Read the book, Right Car, Right Price, and you'll discover how the game is played and how you can win every time. Whether you're buying a car or a truck, new or used, Right Car, Right Price explains how to find and buy the vehicle best suited to your individual transportation needs. Auto Week called Right Car, Right Price the right stuff. So take the hassle out of car buying. Read Right Car, Right Price, and every time you get into your new car, you'll know you've got a great deal. Go online to rightcarrightprice.com to order your copy today. It only takes an hour to read Right Car, Right Price, and it just costs $10. We even pay the postage. So go to rightcarrightprice.com right now. It'll be one of the best decisions you ever make.
Edinburgh scientists have created a genetically modified chicken that produces important cancer-fighting drugs in its egg whites. The chemicals found in the eggs are difficult and expensive to make in a lab. The Scottish team is the same one who created Dolly, the clone sheep. The world's first test tube baby has given birth. 28-year-old Louise Brown gave birth to a healthy, naturally conceived baby boy in Bristol, England. Honda announced it will build a second factory in India. The price tag, $200 million. Honda says India's booming economy means more disposable income and an increase in vehicle demand. 10 Southeastern Asian nations have signed a comprehensive energy agreement at the conclusion of a summit held in the Philippines this past week. The pact also encouraged energy alternatives and signaled improved relations between arch enemies Japan and China. China spent $82 billion importing oil last night. last year, a 14.5% increase. China is the world's second biggest oil importer, second only to the U.S. Lukoil, Russia's largest oil company, posted a 37% surge in annual earnings in 2006. The company credits increased production and higher prices. Light sweet crude is trading at $53.31 a barrel on the New York Mercantile Exchange. Wall Street is closed today because of the Martin Luther King holiday. You can find more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Annabelle Lund.
Live from Chicago, the city with many names, it's the Cup of Joe Radio Show. 2 hours of truth and fury representing the fighting spirit of the American worker. And now, through the miracle of screaming audio, here's the guy your bosses hate, the Windy City's biggest windbag, your host, Joe Vecchio.
Okay, yeah, I'm here, and it's Chicago, and it's a little chilly out today. How's everybody doing out there? It is about 30 degrees and cloudy and overcast and a little bit rainy here in Chicago. No snow, though. We were supposed to get a big-ass snowstorm, and it never materialized, which I guess some people like, but I'm like, I want the snow! Actually, what I hate most is ice storms. That's what I fear. Because, you know, snow you can goof around in, you can have fun with. Man, there is absolutely no fun trying to walk on ice or trying to deal with it. And watching trees break. When I was in Alpharetta, man, when we had a nasty ice storm in Atlanta 1 year, because, you know, if you're not familiar with this, where the ice, the rain comes and it gets on the trees and it freezes, and the trees can't handle all that extra weight. So some of them literally fall over, and you can hear them cracking as they fall. Anyway, how's everybody doing out there? I'm sorry I wasn't here on Friday, because I had a problem with my throat. You know, the thing about it is, because it gets cold, I have a space heater in here. And the problem with space heaters is that they tend to dry out the air. And that dried up my sinuses, which caused an infection, which made it impossible for me to talk. And I had a small fever, nothing serious, but it was enough to keep me in bed on Friday. But it's not like I would have lost any work anyway, because there really hasn't been any work. I've worked maybe 20 hours, I think, since Christmas, so I'm out looking for other work. I would buy a humidifier, because that would solve a lot of those problems, but I can't afford it, because I've only been working for 20 hours since Christmas, so I got to figure something out. I'm hoping that... my landlords are going to be lenient with me, because I'm going to be late on the rent because of all that. And it's really, really annoying. And I'm not facing anything different than a lot of you all are these days. Just you know, as you see one or two paychecks, and you can be in serious, serious trouble. And that's no way to live, people. That's no way to live. I mean, I had a very bad couple of years. I was out of work for so long. Because of my wife's illness. I mean, even if I'd had a job, the odds are that I would have lost it, because my poor Kathy was in and out of the hospital so much throughout 2005. And after she died, it was a really kind of tough time for me, because like the last 3 months she was in a coma, so I really didn't know what was going to happen along those lines. She might have lived, she might have died, I didn't know. And because I didn't know, I absolutely could not make any plans. And when she died, there was a part of me that was relieved, because at least I knew it was going to be over one way or the other. You know, she could have gotten better and then just had a relapse later on. So, as sad as I am that she passed away, I was happy she was out of pain, and then, you know, you didn't have to think about it anymore, at least along those lines. But, you know, I missed my wife, and I got depressed, and I got tired, and it made it much more difficult for me, and that's why I moved up here to Chicago. I didn't want to relay too much of that. I just kind of blurted out. But it just goes to show. And I mean, you know, we didn't have any kind of medical coverage. Thank God for Grady Hospital down there in Atlanta, because they basically took care of her and didn't charge anything, because they're designed to help poor people out. I don't know. I think they have one here like that in Chicago, but I haven't been around there, and I need to go, and I need to get checked up and stuff like that. But I'm kind of hospitals to begin with, and quite frankly, I don't have time. I know how the free clinics are, whether it's at a big hospital or not, and they just take forever. And I guess it's always assumed. I don't know if they assume it intentionally or not, but, you know, you're supposed to have a lot of time on your hands. And if you've ever had to go through that circumstance like I have, at Grady, for example, Grady Hospital, it took like 2 days to get a prescription filled. You had to go there one day and wait a couple hours just to get an appointment to come back the next day and wait a couple hours before you got your medicine. Granted, it was free or extremely inexpensive, like, you know, $3 or $4, you know, per prescription or something like that, which is very good, but it's just very time consuming. Everyone in Chicago is still a little bit hungover, I guess, from the Bears' victory yesterday. Yes, I know it's only sports, and I know a lot of left-wingers don't really care that much for sports. But in Chicago, football is like a huge, huge thing. And, you know, they're not, you know, the team can win 41-0, and they'll complain that they didn't win 48-0. I've noticed that about Chicago football fans. They don't seem to have the same attitude about the Cubs, however, who haven't won a World Series since 1908. And haven't even been in the World Series since 1945. But they have a different attitude towards the Bears, even though the Bears haven't been in the Super Bowl since 86. In fact, this was their first playoff win in 12 years. But everybody had a good time, except a friend of mine who went down there who was rooting for the Seahawks. And I said, well, you're taking your life into your own hand there, lady. Excuse me a minute. Let me drink some water. Hydrate, they call it now. Hydrate. You can't say, I'm going to take some water. No, you got to hydrate yourself. So I'm drinking water to keep my throat from drying out too much. And one day, if we ever get like a single-payer plan or if we have a situation where I can afford to go there, I'm going to really have this throat checked out. I'm going to go to an eye, ear, nose, and throat guy and have it checked out. Listen, we're going to have a guest today. Her name is Carol Kay, and she is the leader, not the leader, the webmaster of the website MakeThemAccountable.com. That's www.MakeThemAccountable.com. That's they've been around for a long, long time. And I'll talk about what I'm going to talk about with her when she gets on the phone, and hopefully she should right after the Beatles break. But it all started with something that went on over at Digby, at Hullabaloo. But again, I'll talk about that, you know, I'll do that in the introduction after break. But I want to let everybody know, if you're going to call in, we'll start taking calls, perhaps, depending on how much time she has to stay around. You know, maybe she'll be around to answer your questions about Make Them Accountable and the issue that we're going to be talking about. But if you're calling up now just to talk to me, just hold on. Wait until after the interview, unless she doesn't show up, in which case I'll say, all right, call in. And I hope my usual's out there. I know Sue is out there because Sue popped in to make sure I was live today. And I know I've been dropping out quite a bit. And I'm sorry. You know, it happens. And I know from pretty certain Sarge is out there. And, you know, and I wanted to address something to Sarge because I did watch football over the weekend and the Saints played in the Superdome. And it made me angry that the announcer was talking about, well, you know, New Orleans is pretty much fully recovered from Katrina, and I wanted to throw something at the screen. You know, New Orleans right now is basically the Superdome and the French Quarter and all the tourist areas, and that's it. If you go outside of that area, it's a horrible situation. Bob Herbert had a column about it today in the New York Times, and they've got roughly half the population that they used to have, and I was noticing, looking at the crowd in New Orleans, and again, I don't know if this is normal for them or not, but it seemed to me that it was mostly white people in that crowd at the Superdome. And what they're trying to do is give the impression that the city is completely rehabilitated and everything is hunky-dory, and it is most definitely not. And if after the interview Sarge wants to call in and we can talk more about what's going on the Mississippi coast, which is even worse, excuse me. And, I'm getting the Beatles break music. You're schlepping it in on me before I'm ready, huh? Okay. Hopefully we'll have our guest coming in after the break. It's a Beatles break. We'll be back with more on the Cup of Joe Radio Show here on the Head On Radio Network.
The United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights are problem solvers. They accept any challenge and approach every project with the highest of competency and training. UBC has thousands of professionals who can be at your service, giving you the best in business anytime and every time. It's their job to provide manpower. They build partnerships based on respect and trust. They provide skilled, responsible millwrights and carpenters to meet the challenge of any project because they believe and what they're doing and are so very committed to getting each and every job done right. They include a clause in your contract that eliminates work slowdown and jurisdictional disputes because they believe that, as professionals, they can discuss and solve any problem while keeping your project on target on time. We'd like to take this opportunity to thank the men and women of the United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights for building the American dream and saving the American dream. Thank you.
It must have been prayer meeting with Reverend Brother Bob.
See, hey, Peter, welcome to the program.
You absolutely know that you cannot mention Robert Sunday without conjuring me. This is the known fact.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Right. Well, sometimes I do it on purpose.
You know, the thing that kills me, you know, God just continues to punk Robert Sunday. After time, after time, and it goes back for years, you know. Let's talk a minute about his business venture. From 91 to 94, he was involved in something called Calo Vita, and it was a multi-level marketing company that reaped that pyramid scheme.
Yeah, like Amway.
Sold beauty products and healthcare products. Oh, they had a product called Sea of Galilee Mud Mask.
No, they did not.
Oh, yes, thank you.
You no.
Bob, as a heart attack, I'm serious.
Sea and, of Galilee Mud Mask?
Oh, yes, it was part of the product line.
Prayer meeting edition of Head On with Bob Kincaid, Wednesday nights, 6 to 9 p.m. here on the Head On Radio Network.
This is the story about a group of kids who volunteered.
We fixed stuff, did some art projects with the kids.
Cleaned up the park.
We worked in the woods.
I just wanted to do something.
We fixed up this house.
Did something for the planet.
Hey, that was all I needed. And you know what? It was great.
It was a blast.
At first, they didn't know each other.
I didn't know anyone.
Well, that didn't last long.
This guy is really funny.
Me?
These are my new friends. These are really good new friends.
Are you into it?
Are You Into It is a volunteer program for kids like you who care. If you want to make a difference in your community and make friends, call 4-H toll-free at 1-888-77-YOUTH or check out our website at www.areyouintoit.com.
This definitely made a difference.
I feel like I could do everything.
Yeah.
A public service message brought to you by 4-H, the Cooperative Extension System, and the Ad Council.
This is the Head On Radio Network, The Horn.
Okay, we're back from the Beatles break. How's everybody doing? Once again, I'm your not-so-humble host, Joe Vecchio, and this is the Cup of Joe Radio Show, voice of the working man, voice of those who have been unvoiced by the anti-worker policies of the Bush administration and its corporate allies. And how's everybody doing? My guest is on the phone, and we'll get to her in just a second while I do a little introduction here and why I'm having her on the show. And here's the deal. It started last week on Hullabaloo, which is Digby's web blog, which actually has three posters now, and it's made it even better because the three people that are there, Digby, Poputarian, and Tristero, are some of the better writers on the blogosphere. And they had a post about how they've noticed that all the people that were wrong about the Iraq war, all the right-wing pundits and all the people who were just saying, oh, it's going to be wonderful and all that, they're all being rewarded with cushy jobs. And in particular, Glenn Beck, who got a job on ABC, I think it was, or CNN, or something like that. And meanwhile, all the people who were right about the war, about how it would be a disaster, have been either intimidated or in some cases fired, or in some cases just not even allowed to talk about it, like Phil Donahue, who had the highest rated show on MSNBC, yet it was canceled because they were worried about his political position. And I made a comment in the comment section about that post saying, you know, this is just how the right wing always manages to take care of its own people. Hang on a second. No more water there. The right always does this. I mean, I've said it before, and I'll say it again. George Lakoff talked about it, and he said that the right will take $1 million and give it to the think tank or an organization, say, do what you need to do, while the left will maybe give out $50,000 and demand accountability for every penny. And it's funny because it, in that sense, it's the right wing that acts more like liberals, and the left wing that acts more like the tight-fisted conservatives who, you know, demand, you know, a major return on their investment. And you see it all over the place. And Carolyn Kay, who is my guest, she is the webmaster of MakeThemAccountable.com, as I mentioned, and she had an idea of how to do that. So let's just bring her on and we can start talking about that. Hi, Carolyn. How are you?
Hello?
Are you there?
Yeah.
Hi, how are you?
I'm fine. I'm thinking my headset is doing funny things right now, so sorry about that.
That's okay. Let's talk about, you know, because you sent me an email after I sent the message, and you mentioned that you're starting a mailing list. Talk to me about this.
Well, actually, my mailing list has been ongoing for at least 5 years. I started my website 6 years ago in October of 2000. And I had never been involved in politics before the summer of 2000. And as I signed up to do internet stuff for the Gore campaign, and they kept sending me to these message boards, and I was amazed at the misogyny and the racism and the hatred and the refusal to look at facts that I was finding there. And I was seeing that, you know, most of that was what was getting in the media, most of the lies and this just stupid stuff that was getting in the media and the mainstream media, and nothing on the other side. So I started a email list for friends and family, and then I started the website. And but one of the things as I did as I went along building lists was to start sending emails to people that I was trying to convince we need to do things on our side similar to the way they do them on the right. Not everything that they do, of course. You know, they do a lot of things that are illegal, immoral, and maybe even fattening. I don't know. But we don't want to do those things. What we want to do is to do to take the things that were successful for them that are legal, ethical, and moral, and go with them. I mean, it's crazy for us not to do that. And it wasn't long in my study of why Democrats were losing and what was going on that I discovered that the funding is the answer. That's what they're doing on their side that we are not doing on our side.
Right, and the Head On Radio is a perfect example. I mean, we've been you know, we've got some sponsors and that, sure, but we don't have like a Richard Mellon Scaife or an American Enterprise Institute or anything like that that can say, hey, here's people who are doing a good job supporting the cause. Let's make sure they have enough money to do what they need to do and not worry about it.
Exactly.
Nobody does that.
Exactly. Nobody. Nobody does that. And when they do start something, it's maybe just a little bit different from something that's already being done, but the person funding it wants it done just exactly their way as opposed, you know what I mean?
Right.
For example.
Very micromanaged.
Well,
you know, Soros gave all those millions to MoveOn.org, and I haven't really heard that much from them ever since. And I'm like, you know, what are they doing? What is MoveOn doing? I'm sure they're doing something. They got a lot of money.
They are doing mostly get-out-the-vote efforts. And even though their membership tells them over and over and over again, we think media are important, we think we should be funding media, we should be doing that on our side, I wrote a specific proposal for them over 2 years ago that, you know, I know the email addresses of the top people there. And I even had the phone number of the head guy, Wes Boyd, and tried to talk to them, tried to tell them this is what made the right wing so successful. And, you know, the thing that worries me is that that's not going to end after the November 7th elections, this past November. Okay.
Right.
Democrats prevailed, but I'm not saying that Democrats won that election. it was principled Republicans who gave that election to the Democrats, because the Democrats did not fight for it. They did not stand up and, you know, and say what it was that they were for. To right at the very end, you know, this is how we will be better than the Republicans. But what made that possible was chinks in the armor that were created by Republicans. For example, all the prosecutions against Abramoff and against Cunningham, and, you know, these things that finally started bringing to light the criminality of many of these Republicans. That was done by Republican appointee prosecutors.
Right.
Okay. And Katrina, the failures in Iraq, again, many of those brought to light by Bob Woodward, who is as Republican a reporter as you can get. And some of the others, the revelations about Mark Foley were made by Republican staffers. Okay, so
why do you think that's going on? I mean, you know, it seems to me like, are they turning on George W. Bush, or are they turning on their party? What's going on with that?
I think they were turning on the right wing of the Republican Party, which had basically taken over the party, and they were running roughshod over everybody. And they were acting like dictators.
Mm-hmm.
The Tom DeLays and the amount of criminality that was just rampant, you know. And so it was the thuggish tactics. A lot of Republicans were treated very, very badly by DeLay and his cohorts. Trent Lott, for example. Trent Lott is now, just about everything the president comes up with, he's against. Because they threw him to the wolves. You know, he wasn't doing everything they wanted to keep Congress marching in lock goose-step with each other and with the administration, and doing exactly what they wanted when they wanted it immediately, push it through, don't even let anybody read the legislation and get it in there. You know, and he tried to put a little bit of sanity in there, and so it was the right wing blogosphere that took his remarks about senator who stayed, Strom Thurmond, who stayed until he was 99.
Oh yeah.
His comments about Strom Thurmond and blew them out of proportion and made him resign from the leadership. Now he's back in the leadership, and guess what? he's going to get his revenge. You can't treat people the way they treated people and expect that's going to last forever.
Right, I hear you. Listen, what we're going to do is, well, it's a little early, I guess, but I want to get this out of the way quickly. I don't know how long you can hang on. I want you to stay as long as you can, but we've got to take a break. It's the bottom of the hour.
Okay.
And when we'll come back, we'll talk more about this issue, and we'll talk more about what Democrats need to do to try to counter this.
Okay.
Okay?
Very good.
So we'll be right back with more from Carolyn Kay from MakeThemAccountable.com after these short messages. It's the Cup of Joe Radio Show here on the Head On Radio Network.
There's one place on the web you can go that's so topical, you can apply it liberally. WD40.com. WDYAD40.com. Wad, Wally, and Goofy are there. They're working hard every day to give you updates in the news, politics, and a great sense of humor. So stop on by and see the boys at WD40.com, a place where you can raise your voice and be heard. WD40.com. Your one-stop shop for all things progressive.
recently on The Guy James Show on the Head On Radio Network.
If you have tuned into this program by mistake right now, and you are a Republican, a right-wing Republican specifically, before this program is over, I do want to warn you, you're going to think that I'm the devil. You're going to think I've got horns and a red cape because I hate the Bush administration and everything they stand for. So be ye warned right away, okay? You're all warned right now that that's where we're coming from today.
Don't miss Guy James, weekdays, 3 to 5 Eastern Time, on the Head On Radio Network.
We are taking to the streets, sidewalks, paths, and parks across Canada in support of ALS research and to raise money to provide quality care for the thousands of Canadians living with ALS and their families. Please join us. Walk for ALS is a fun, family-friendly event occurring in more than 60 communities across Canada. We are walking because ALS is a devastating disease. The average life expectancy is only 2 to 5 years.
We are walking because every day 2 to 3 Canadians die from ALS.
We are walking to provide hope.
We are walking for those who can't. Most people with ALS will lose the use of their legs in the first 2 years of the disease. What would you do while you still could? For more information or to register for the Walk for ALS, visit www.als.ca/walkforALS.
This is The Horn, the Head On Radio Network.
Okay, we're back, and before we continue with our conversation, I wanted to mention, because I completely forgot at the beginning, that today is Martin Luther King's birthday, so please remember Dr. King and all he's done for us, and all he's tried to do for us, all he had tried to do for us while he was alive, and his life was taken too tragically, as is always the case with our great leaders on the left, because the right wing loves killing left-wingers, and sometimes I feel like we should do some more of that for them, but that's a little over the top, maybe, but you just get frustrated to see our great leaders taken down like that before their time. John Kennedy, Robert Kennedy, and Martin Luther King in particular. Let's continue talking with Carolyn Kay here, and let me ask a straightforward question. Do you think that maybe one of the reasons why the Democrats aren't getting a kind of fair shake is because the media, you know, whenever they try to do something, the media will always report it in a negative light? Don't you think it's kind of a perpetual thing?
Yes, and in fact, that's why, that's what I was starting out to say earlier, is that the reason why we can't just say, oh, okay, Democrats are back in power, no problem, now we can just stop our efforts and everything. No, sorry, because the right-wing think tanks are still working. The right-wing media are still working to discredit every Democrat and to throw praise and whatever upon every Republican, well, almost every Republican now. But there is still the situation where the right-wing media actually controls what the mainstream media do and say, and makes them afraid to actually be honest. You know, I think that many of them would say things more along the lines of, at least try to be fair, if they were given the freedom to do that. But the right wingers are so strident and so mean and vicious that they have actually, in fact, one of my commentaries posted on my website is mau-mauing the media. That they have been, I don't know how many of your listeners are old enough to remember the term Mau Mau from the 60s, where we talked about people being bullied into donating to left-wing causes and things like that. And I'm not in favor of bullying, no matter which side it's on. And so I think that the fact that Democrats prevailed this past November is a starting point for us. we have to go forward with that. We have to build on that. We have to make Americans aware, because they do not even seem to be aware of the fact that most of the things that they favor, what I want for America is what 60 to 80% of Americans want, yet I'm called a wild-eyed leftist, communist, whatever.
Right, right.
And I'm not. I'm mainstream. I'm center. I'm a center.
But, you know, we're angry leftists. We're crazy.
Right.
We're crazy. Oh, look, you know, invading a country of long-term occupation is a bad idea. That's a crazy thought. Yeah, we can go in there and we can do anything we want. You know, I was in a right-wing chat room on IRC the other night, and they were discussing, and I put that word in quotes, evolution. And there was one guy who was making the argument that humans once had gills and we've since lost them. And I'm like, what the hell are you talking about? And I don't even bother to talk to them. I just go in there and I lurk and I listen, because they come up with some of the most ridiculous things. But you know what? I bet you in 2 months, in some newspaper somewhere, it said, scientists debate whether humans once had gills. And I'm like, no!
We did have gills. In fact, there's a stage that human embryos go through where they have gills.
No, that's not the same deal, because amniotic fluid is essentially seawater. We have lungs. We breathe air. We've never had gills.
I know, but we once had
gills.
We came from the sea. So
yeah,
anyway,
but you're not talking about mammals. You're talking about amphibians, and you're talking about lungfish and things like that. Those weren't mammals. Mammals developed much later.
Right,
they always
the
had lungs.
Is, what I'm saying is that the vestiges of prior what we went through in an evolutionary sense are, some of them are found in the growth of the embryo. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, but not gills, and we don't have you know, chlorophyll cells. You know
okay.
what I'm saying?
I'm going to have to get to you about the gills, because as I understand it, there is a stage that the embryo goes through.
Yeah, but that's not it's not really a gill. It's more anyway. It's not the same type of deal.
Okay.
Because, you know.
Anyway, a lot of those people don't even believe in evolution.
Well, you know, the other people were talking about, you know, magic wands and God stuff.
And
like
in fact,
that,
only 30%, only a third of Americans believe in evolution. Now that's scary.
That is, you know, it was just funny because, you know, I grew up in New York City, and, you know, I took science classes, and they were very strong on education in the high school that I went to. And I had to spend my senior year at a high school in Florida because we moved. And for the first time, I met people who didn't believe in evolution. And I'm like, what? And, you know, the whole argument was one of the kids had one of those little pens. I don't know if you remember them from when we were younger, where you had the pen and had a picture of a girl with a bathing suit on it. When you turned the pen upside down, the bathing suit would disappear.
Oh, no, I never saw one of those.
And he was showing me that. I said, there's no way this came from an ape. And I was like, you're stupid. It was like the first time that I wanted to actually reach over and beat someone on the head with a baseball bat to just to knock some sense into him. Stop being an idiot.
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, that doesn't work. What does work is the kind of work that you are doing, which is education, 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 education. You know, showing people what the real facts are, and letting them understand that, you know, they're not crazy for believing the facts and believing in scientific discoveries. That doesn't mean science knows everything. All it means is that there are some things that have been discovered through the scientific method, which is the most least biased way of looking at reality that we have as human beings, and therefore has, you know, come up with a number of discoveries. Where would we be if we hadn't had science?
That's all fine and wonderful, and I agree with you. But my personal experience with a lot of people, especially having lived in the South, I don't know where you're located.
I'm from Louisiana.
You're from Louisiana. So you should know exactly what I'm talking about. You try to tell people that in an extremely rational way, they don't even want to hear it. They're not interested in that. Well, the Bible says this, and therefore I believe that.
There is,
and, you know,
a lot of that.
But
then I came from there.
Well, you know, I'm not saying that, you know, we have our good friend Sarge who calls in, who's from, you know, the Mississippi area, and, you know, I'm the damnedest of damnable Yankees, as I've always pointed out, and I get down on the South, not because of who the Southerners are, but because they always seem to, you know, elect these people, the worst kind, and, But I know there's a lot of intelligent people down there. I mean, Al Gore's from the South.
Yes.
Bill Clinton's from the South.
John Edwards.
These are people I'm sorry?
John Edwards.
These are highly intelligent people. Jimmy Carter.
Right.
I have great respect for these people. They're very intelligent, even when they're religious. Carter's religious. Clinton's religious. Gore is religious in his own way. Edwards is religious. But that doesn't bother me. They're intelligent people, and I respect that. And we don't respect intelligent people anymore. Years ago, I read about in history, Upton Sinclair, who was nothing more than just a writer, really, and a political activist to a certain extent, but he never held political office. He ran a few times. But invited to talk to presidents about stuff, simply because he was an intellectual, and people said, well, he's a smart guy. He talked to the president. And we can't do that anymore. Could you imagine George Bush trying to talk to Stephen Hawking about something?
No. Just to give you an example, one of my brothers was having trouble with passing Louisiana history when he was in the eighth grade. I was a few years ahead of him. And I made good grades, so my mother asked me to help him. And so when I first sat down with him, I said, okay, do everything I tell you, and you will make an A the 6 weeks in Louisiana history. And he looked at me and he said, but I don't want to make an A. And
Why didn't he want to make an A?
I mean, how could one not want to make an A? I mean, that's what one always strove for, you know.
Underachiever and proud of it.
Well, he was like that then. He's not like that now, but he was like that then. But that was the influence of his peers, and that is definitely one of the attitudes in the South, that if you show you're smart, you know.
we don't trust them pointy-headed.
That's right.
Pointy-headed
liberals. That's right.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
Right.
Well, you know, let's try to veer, because we kind of went off on a tangent here. Let's veer back onto the subject of what the left wing can do. I mean, there are people who have a lot of money on the left, guys like Soros, guys like Ted Turner, and stuff like that.
A lot of them. A lot.
And what are they not doing with their money that they should be doing? I mean, you know, where do you see the problem is with that? Because, quite frankly, you know, look, I've said this before and I'll say this again. I love doing this radio show. I don't make a penny off of it, and neither really, as far as I know, anybody on the network here does. You know, I mean, we get sponsorship money that helps keep the server going and stuff like that. But we don't get enough to pay anybody here's salary. But we do it because we feel compelled to do it, because we feel there's a need for it. And even if I never get any money for it, I'll continue to do it for as long as I'm physically capable of doing it, and as long as they'll have me on the air before I drive everybody away.
Mm-hmm.
but... why doesn't somebody just sit there and say, you know, here's a bunch of people, let's just give them the money to do what they need to do? Why do you think that attitude is ingrained in some of these people?
Well, I think there are a number of reasons. The one that Bob Perry of Consortium News gives frequently is that Democrats are so inured in the get out the vote mentality that they can't see the importance of media. Another is that I think that the mentality of the news media being liberal has sunk in not only to many all of the conservatives, I guess, in this country, but also to a lot of liberals and a lot of Democrats. I think they think that somehow or other, despite the fact that the news media may take every opportunity to say bad things about Democrats every single time they can, and say good things about Republicans every single time they can, or excuses
right.
for Republicans or whatever, that they think that's going to change somehow, sometime, by magic or something, you know, and that's not going to change.
And even when they give a compliment, it's kind of a left-handed compliment.
It is a left-handed compliment, usually has some kind of swipe in the back. You know, they're good, you know, like Democrats are finally united on blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Finally united. They seem to think, the media seem to think, being united is a good thing, and that's what you ought to be. I personally think it's good when you have dissent, when you have disagreement. But
sure.
But they think that's a good thing. So they can say that about Democrats, but they can only say it if they also say, well, you know, all this time they've been disorganized, so finally here's one thing where they're not so disorganized. But you know, they'll probably revert to type and go back to it.
And they'll nitpick what a Democrat says like crazy. I mean, all the stuff
absolutely.
About Al Gore, which was totally untrue, But but they'll lie about it, and then they'll use those lies to justify saying, well, Gore's a serial liar.
Right.
And in the meantime, you've got George Bush, who was just lying through his teeth and has been lying through his teeth since, you know, as long as I've known him in the political arena, and yet they simply refuse to say
it's
that.
It's not just his lies, it's his failures. His failures, most Americans did not know that every business he was ever involved in failed.
Right.
Everything he had ever done failed, you know.
You know, the joke after 9/11 was that we're entrusting a man to find Osama bin Laden to try to find the most notorious terrorist in the world. We're entrusting that to a man who couldn't find oil in Texas.
That's right. Well, by the time he got around to it, I have to admit oil was pretty hard to find in Texas, but because they had pumped it all out and sold their birthright, basically.
Even so.
But that's the kind of thing he learned in Texas, too, was, you know, just, you got to spend it, you know.
Yeah, but he also learned that he could fail spectacularly and come away with more money.
And he never had to worry about where his next million was coming from because he had his mama's Rolodex and his daddy's Rolodex. That's right.
Right.
That's right. I do want to say that it's not just the wealthy Democrats or liberals or progressives or whatever you want to call them who are at fault in this situation. The individuals are also. Now, I understand that a lot of people on our side and who believe the way we do are on very limited and fixed incomes, but many are not. And those people also have not been willing to come forward and put forth the money that's necessary. I barely get a trickle of donations for Make Them Accountable, and I'm sure that you don't get that many for Head On Radio either.
I don't know about Head On Radio. I know through my blog, and I don't even ask for donations anymore, really, because I don't think it's right, to be perfectly honest. But I get maybe $15, $20 a month from a few subscribers, and that's basically it. But, you know, I do it anyway, and, you know, there are times when I feel compelled to just take the make a donation thing off the blog, but I just leave it up there, and I don't advertise it. And I really, you know, and really, to be perfectly honest, it really shouldn't be up to the little guys like that to build big organizations.
I think everybody ought to be paying up. I think we all, the problem is that we are trying to defeat the biggest money juggernaut that has ever been built in the history of the world, okay?
Yeah.
And we're not going to do that by being cheap. We're not we're not going to defeat them by saying, oh, gee, well, you know, I can't manage to contribute anything. That's not going to happen. We need the big people's money, and we need the little people's money. We need it to fund our candidates. We need to fund our get-out-the-vote efforts. We need to fund our media. And
well, we're doing that to a certain extent through the blogosphere, though. I mean, the Howard Dean thing and the internet raising money. I mean, that did very well for Democrats. They did a lot better. I mean, Dean raised, I think, twice the money that Democrats raised before, and it was all small donations from a lot of people.
That's
which is the way it should be.
Exactly. That we the people should be funding elections. Now, you know, what I'm in favor of is eventually having elections completely paid for by tax dollars. But
tax dollars and small donations. I would make any kind of corporate donation illegal. That's you know, it's a little extreme maybe, but that's my point of view.
Well, actually, right now there is no McCain-Feingold Act made it illegal for corporations to contribute to political campaigns
directly. Yeah, but they have the
but
issue
they have
ads
their
and
ways.
All that stuff. Yeah, I mean the big money will always seem to find a way. But if you really want to enforce it, and another thing I talked about is the 1975 SunPAC law, which is what allowed corporations to create and fund with their own money political action committees. Before that law, there were maybe a few dozen corporate political action committees. After that law was created, there were thousands of them within a couple of years.
Right.
And what they do is they get
the executives to pay up and, you know, contribute substantial sums to these PACs that the top management then places with people who will give them breaks. I mean it's pay for play, it's payola, it's quid pro quo, all of these things that are against the law in any other industry, you know. And we are the only so-called civilized country that does that.
Yeah, I think so. I'm not really sure how they work in other countries.
We're the only industrialized nation for certain that has individual donations to political campaigns. They all
Everyone else is tax related.
Right. Paid for.
I know in Britain, at least from what little I know, that they basically give you X amount of dollars to run a campaign.
Right.
And
I think
you're
you have to get
reimbursed that
on a petition. Okay. So you have to have enough of an organization, enough of a set of volunteers to help you get enough signatures on a petition, and then you get your tax money, and that's all you're allowed to spend.
Right.
So you have to be a bit more careful about how you spend. Well, you know, when we take a look at how things are going in 2000, I think it was $1 billion that was spent on that election cycle that was raised, you know, on that election cycle, and it's gone. You know, it just keeps going up and up. $2.5 billion just to put people in Washington.
$1 billion would put about 8,000 people to work for $50,000 a year for a year.
Yes, it would. Now,
and that's what we're talking about.
Now think about where that money goes.
It goes to ad agencies, and it goes to it goes to people who don't really need the money.
It goes to media, media. Now think about this, Democratic contributors. It goes to the same media who say bad things about Democrats every time they can and good things about Republicans every time they can.
And
we're funding our own demise.
And they require an FCC license to stay on the air. And there's got to be a point where they say, you're going to stop this or we're going to take away your license.
And the reason they have to have that license is because we the people own the airwaves.
Right.
Which is something nobody ever thinks about. We own the airwaves. They belong to us. We give them permission to use those airwaves, and no longer do they have to do anything for it. It used to be that they had to do a certain amount of public interest programming, and that's all gone by the wayside. It used to be that...
As well as the Fairness Doctrine,
Fairness Doctrine went by the wayside. And that was what fostered the Rush Limbaugh-type stuff, and that's what put on the radio all over the nation people who have to be more shocking than the last guy... And therefore say things about killing Democrats, killing justices of the Supreme Court.
Didn't they just have that? There was a lady and a guy in a show in California, I think, that were talking about we need to put a target on Nancy Pelosi.
Yeah, KSFO radio in San Francisco, and a lot of the talk on that station was captured by a blogger. He went by the name Sacco, I think.
Sacco.
Pardon?
Spacco,
there you go. And so he made it his point to go to the advertisers and say, look, here's a clip. This is what this person said. This is in their voice. This is unedited. This person said, kill blah, blah, blah. And so they started losing advertisers. Well, it's an ABC station, and ABC
apparently owned by Disney.
Is right-wing as you can get. And,
well, they're owned by Disney.
ABC shut the blogger down. So it's like you can't even tell the truth about these people. That's too controversial. It's too controversial to tell advertisers that people are advocating murder over the radio in the United States of America.
Well, it really hurts their corporate interests. You know, there's an old saying that it's very difficult to get somebody to believe something when their paycheck depends upon them not believing.
Absolutely.
And that's all the right wing guys. That's why they get all the nice cushy jobs. And I had a couple of political cartoons on my blog talking about the CEO of Home Depot, who basically went in there and screwed everything up. Or like one of my commenters called it a home despot. But this guy went in there, he became CEO, and he basically screwed up the country, and they fired him, but not without giving him a $200 million firing bonus or whatever the
golden
hell they
parachute,
call it. And it's like, if you and I, if we screw up on our jobs, we get fired. And if we're lucky, getting fired doesn't ruin our employment reputation for our entire lives. I mean, what do they ask you on an application? Have you ever been fired before from a job? They want to know this stuff. But for them, you know, like I said on my post, it's all carrot and no stick. They have no incentive to do this. If they screw up, they get a ton of money anyway. Maybe there's a loss of professional pride, but that's about it.
Well, I don't even think at that level that firing is an embarrassing thing, because it can often be, how should I say it, just a difference of opinion among management or with management of the board or whatever. So it's not necessarily a black eye to be fired at that level, unless, of course, you have totally run the company into the ground, which is what this guy did.
But even so,
up somewhere.
That's what I'm saying. That, you know, they say, well, he was run a big company before, so therefore, well, how much money will we give him? Oh, we'll give him a few $100 million.
The same thing is happening in the media companies. Look at Eisner. He'd talk about ABC, Disney. Michael Eisner really ran that company into the ground, and he got hundreds of millions of dollars as a parting bonus.
Sure. And even guys who were successful were getting too much. Jack Welch obviously did a lot of good for GE. Their profits were fairly decent.
Mm-hmm.
But he was getting not only all this money, but he still got to use corporate jets, and they paid for a home for him or something like that. So if he's getting all this stuff, what does he need all this other money for?
You know? I don't know why anybody needs to accumulate money the way some of these people accumulate. How many Picassos can you own?
I think it's a psychological thing. I talk about Thucydides a lot on my show, and he wrote 2,500 years ago that there are people who, if they have X amount of money, will want twice X. And
yeah.
I've seen that. And I worked for a short time. I worked in sales when I worked for Nextel, which, you know, had a good product, I thought. And even among the salesmen, you know, when they made a sale, they were always upset with themselves that they didn't make an even bigger sale.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's really kind of a mentality. Well, I made $1 million here, but I could have made $2 million. Damn it, why didn't I make $2 million? And, of course, if you're not aggressive enough, if you're not a person that's aggressive in trying to get that, they have no respect for you. You know, because I wasn't a very aggressive salesman. I like to be a good customer service people. I was a good salesman, but I wasn't, you know, real hard-nosed about it, and they don't have a lot of respect for people who are like that, because, you know, how can you settle for this when you could have gotten that? And I think that's what the attitude is.
Well,
what do you do with all that money? That's what I want to know. What do you do with all that money? You use it to donate to political campaigns. That's what you
well,
do.
Well, that
it.
Seems to be our whole way of being in the United States. And it's really sad that everything is about work. Everything is about winning. Everything is about getting over on the other guy. And we're totally ignoring that part of our nature that wants to be part of a group, part of a...
part of a community.
Yes.
Part of a community.
Yes. A community that we work together to do things. And
well, listen, let me interrupt you here for a second, because we're coming up on the top of the hour, and we skipped the other break, and that's okay. We can skip that one, but we can't skip it. Can you hang around longer?
Yeah, sure.
To talk?
Sure.
Okay, we're going to go to the top of the hour. We got the news coming up, and some more commercial breaks, and we will be back with talk with more with Carolyn Kay. This is Joe Vecchio and the Cup of Joe Radio Show on the Head On Radio Network. We'll be back.
This is the Quality News Network. President Bush says Congress cannot stop his plan to send more than 20,000 extra troops to Iraq. The first group of U.S. soldiers for the so-called surge arrived in Iraq today. The U.S. says it doesn't know how long the surge in American forces will last. Iraqi leaders say it should be for at least 6 months. In Iraq, the country's foreign prime minister continues to demand the release of five Iranians seized by U.S. soldiers last week from diplomatic offices. It is the second time the U.S. has abducted Iranians. Baghdad officials say were invited to be there. In Washington, the Bush administration says though it would prefer to use diplomacy with Iran, it has not ruled out military action. Today, Defense Secretary Robert Gates said escalating naval strength in the Persian Gulf is meant to send a message to Iran that U.S. forces are not overextended in the two wars they are already fighting. In Baghdad, Saddam Hussein's two co-defendants in his war crimes trial were hanged this morning. One of the convicts was the former dictator's half-brother. The New York Times says the military has dramatically increased its involvement in domestic spying. The Pentagon and the CIA have required banks and other private financial organizations to secretly turn over the banking and credit records of hundreds of Americans. Some of the nation's largest law firms are calling for the ouster of a Pentagon official who urged Americans to pull their business out of companies who allow their attorneys to do pro bono work for Guantanamo prisoners. Charles Stimson is in the Pentagon is in charge of military detainees. There have been 770 prisoners in Guantanamo. Only 10 have been charged with a crime. In Jerusalem, Israeli Prime Minister Ehud Olmert, Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas, and U.S. State Secretary Condoleezza Rice have agreed to meet to resurrect Middle East peace talks. The date and place have yet to be released. 3 days of fierce winter storms have killed 21 people in four states. Hundreds of thousands remain without power. States include Oklahoma, Missouri, Texas, and New York. Temperatures are predicted to be below zero tonight. In Richmond, California, firefighters have brought an oil refinery fire under control. The blaze broke out early this morning. One reported injury so far. Jazz saxophonist and 11-time Grammy Award winner Michael Brecker has died of leukemia. He was 57.
Hi, I'm Anthony, owner of the Duplication Connection, and I'm here to ask you a question. Has one of your friends or relatives sent you a DVD from another country and you discover that it won't play in your machine? At the Duplication Connection, we can convert any country-coded DVD to play in the U.S. We can also convert your DVDs to play in any country on the planet. Call me at the Duplication Connection at area code 831-373-0493 or visit our website at www.duplicationconnection.com.
Don't dread the Fed. Sure, the Federal Reserve is raising interest rates. Seems like it happens every day around noon. But does that affect your home loan? Not necessarily. Talk to the pros at Gold Coast Financial. They can help you bid your dread of interest rates goodbye. Don't wait another minute. Start living in your dream home while sending your interest rate nightmares packing. Gold Coast Financial. 649-8757. 649-8757. Gold Coast Financial. 831-649-8757.
A New York team of doctors is planning to perform a controversial uterus transplant. Critics say it may be dangerous for the woman and child and is not a transplant operation performed to save a person's life. Healthcare advocates warn a White House proposal to save Medicaid nearly $4 billion in the next 5 years will cut financial assistance to rural hospitals and care facilities. The public has 60 days to comment on the new plan. Healthcare officials have stepped up efforts to prevent disease sweeping through emergency shelters set up to care for 100,000 Malaysians forced from their homes by flooding. Two evacuees have already died. A recent AP Ipsos poll shows 62% of Americans think they can tell a person's personality by what kind of car they drive. 37% of those polled say their car has a personality of its own. Honda announced it will build a second factory in India, the price tag $200 million. 10 Southeastern Asian nations have signed a comprehensive energy agreement at the conclusion of a summit held in the Philippines this past week. The pact also encouraged energy alternatives and signaled improved relations between arch enemies Japan and China. Light sweet crude is trading at $52.95 a barrel on the New York Mercantile Exchange. Wall Street is closed today because of the Martin Luther King Jr. holiday. You can find more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Annabelle Lund.
Welcome back to the Cup of Joe Radio Show, the show that asks the all-important question. Hey, you gonna eat that? And now, back again for another hour of Truth and Fury. Here's the man your bosses hate, the voice of the working man's thinking man, Joe Vecchio.
Okay, and we're back here for the second hour of the Cup of Joe radio show. My, this, time always flies when we're doing the
show.
Once again, time flies when you're having fun. That's right. And once again, let me remind everybody that it is Martin Luther King Jr.'s birthday. A great, great American, one of the great human beings of all time. Carolyn, do you mind taking a caller here?
No, fine.
Okay, we've got our good friend Sarge from Mississippi. I mentioned him earlier. Sarge, how you doing today?
Doing pretty good. I just wanted to let you know we're doing really good with our Mississippi mission. That Head On Radio, Novem Radio Network, and UnreportedNews.net are have got going.
And, outstanding.
This is great. But I just talked to a fella here in Marion County, my home county, where I live, and I found out there's a lot of problems still here. So
from Katrina?
Yes. Let me tell you. Now, I don't know if you ever heard of me or not. Somehow happened. But I've been working this thing. Well, yeah, I can't really say that. I've been around on it since day one. Because
right. Sarge is our man on the scene there in Mississippi and in Louisiana, who's been doing everything he possibly can, along with a lot of his friends down there, to help out the victims of Katrina, who are still suffering.
Yes. In fact, I won't go into it because you have the guests, but we have a mission going on with these networks, and I'm talking to your guests. I hope you'll go by unreportednews.net and check it out, because it's really mushrooming into something good, and I'd like to see it expand, because talking to the guy here in Marion County, we have unmet needs here that are really bad too. I didn't know that until today.
And that goes precisely into what Carolyn and I have been talking about
right,
people helping each other out.
Listen, and that's what I wanted to get in on this for, was because I want to let you know George W. Bush's administration is rotten even down to the local level. This Haley Barbour character, he has pulled some stunts that, man, they ought to just hang this man by his toes and let him just lay in the public, hang in the public square for until he passes away, because he has caused more people to die by holding up federal funds, by giving them to his cronies, and about 20% of the stuff gets down to the people. Homeland Security is holding the goods that they have control over their heads and saying, if you talk to the media, you don't get anything. If you keep your mouth shut, we'll give you something.
But Sarge, the burning question that the nation wants to know the answer to is, has Trent Lott's house been rebuilt?
You know, I get that a lot. You're right. That is a question people ask me. No. No.
Okay.
In fact, he's suing his insurance company, Mr. Torque Reform Lodge.
Yeah, Mr. Don't Sue. Okay.
Yes. That porch is going to have to wait because it's going through the legal system.
Amazing how things change, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And, you know, it's really funny because Lott has not done diddly squat for the people. He's done very little.
Sarge, let me ask you a quick question here.
Sure.
I want to talk because this goes to what we're talking about, how the media handle these things. I don't know if you watched any of the football games on Sunday. Did you watch the Saints play on Sunday?
No, I'm a big Saints fan, but the answer is no, I did not, because after Katrina, we had our cable back on shortly after Katrina, and they didn't charge us or wasn't supposed to, and I couldn't afford to get the cable back on because I had other priorities, you know, and on my limited income, there was just no way I could keep my cable. And
right.
So I let it go, and when it came, and they turned it over to a collection agency, the idiots. And when it came time where I could pay it, they had already turned it over to the collection agency, and I said, well, I'm not going to play it. So I got done without cable, and honestly, I don't miss it.
Well, I don't miss it either. We don't have cable here. I get so much entertainment from the Internet anyway. But the thing about it is, what made me upset was that they were talking about how, you know, how the city's, you know, completely rehabilitated from Katrina. And you and I know that that is absolutely further from the truth. I mean, I know the people of Mississippi are suffering, but New Orleans is, what, about half of what it used to be as far as population is concerned? And there's still a huge mess down there, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, you know, I was talking to a guy here. Now, let me tell you in relation to Jackson County, and Jackson County was the worst hit of all. 34% of the houses destroyed, of the damage done in Mississippi was Jackson County. You know, and that county is just ravaged.
Is that on the coast, Sarge?
Yes, yes. It's the county closest to Mobile, the Alabama line. And now, don't get me wrong, every county is devastated. You know, Hancock, Harrison, and Jackson, those are three coastal counties. And every one of them is suffering extremely bad to this day, and the priority is business. And the governor has released talking points, and his talking points spell it out that his intention is to build a gambling mecca with high-priced condominiums, and people who are in the way, they're dead, or they're going to have to leave.
So this was a boon for them.
Oh, it is, and they're just taking full advantage of it. And some of the people that they're driving out are people who have had property here since the beginning. You know, their family history goes back to these lands. Like, you know, the coast basically has always been just a really long time community. People be in transit, but there's that set of people who have been there since God was a teenager.
I've certainly driven that coast many times, right there along where Bay St. Louis and so on. And there are many historic homes there. Were those all destroyed too? Jefferson
yes.
Davis's house? And
yes, Jeff. In fact, I had a picture of Jefferson Davis's house up on my site after the storm, and it looks just like an old shack.
Oh.
Well, you know, you'll forgive me for being a damn Yankee here, but I really don't see Jefferson Davis's house is a big loss. But that's geographical perspective.
Jefferson Davis wasn't the loss. The house was the loss.
Oh, okay.
Here's the thing about that house, and that's the kind of a misnomer in a way, because it's not just a house. It was a veteran's home for Confederate veterans, and there's a lot of them who would have been extremely destitute had it not been opened up. Jefferson Davis's widow, excuse me, she willed this house to take care of her, the veterans. And there's a lot of veterans that are buried there, and it's really a bigger thing than just the house. And by the way, if I'm going to tell your guests, we have photos at unreportednews.net that Ray Hinckley and I took, back in October. And if you'll go to that, you can just click on Ray's name, and you can see just the damage that was done and that has not been repaired, and that's as late as October of this year, of 2006.
Well, my question is, as always, you know, and obviously, Sarge, you're doing wonderful work there, and Carolyn, you're doing wonderful work in publicizing this, but how can we get more people aware of what's going on? Because that seems to me to be the big problem, because Sarge has mentioned that even in the northern parts of Mississippi, people are like, well, they don't want to hear about it. And what bothers me is seeing the news from the football game that people will think, well, there's nothing going on. You know, there's nothing that we need to do in New Orleans anymore because it's all fixed. How do we get people to know about what's going on there?
Yeah, that's what really stinks about this thing with the Saints. I've been a Saints fan since the day they announced they were going after a franchise. And I've been waiting for this day for all these years, And right now it's kind of bittersweet because I know they're going to use it to lie to the people. And so in a way, I'd like to see the Saints lose just because I don't want those lies out there. But yet as a Saints fan and wanting to see them do good, you know, it just, it really runs it for me. It really does. And that's
it's kind of like, because I understand how you feel because, you know, growing up in New York, we were huge baseball fans. And you lived and died by what your team did. You know, your team lost, the next day you didn't want to talk to anybody. Your team won, you were top of the world, and you know you were bragging to everybody about it.
But here,
being a Mets fan, I saw much more of the former than the latter, but still.
If the Saints win, I will not be that excited about it because I know they're going to use them a lot, and I hate it. But you were asking what can you do, and I want to certainly let your guest in on this. But we got to get the word out every way we possibly can. That's why I spend so much time talking on the radio, because every time I speak out, somebody's going to hear it and react to it. And I'd like to build more of these things like we're doing with this Mississippi Mission and keep something going year-round on this thing, because we cannot, there's no way we can do everything that needs to be done, but we sure can help it. And
I do everything I can. I wish I could help more financially, but my finances are in ruins right now. I haven't paid the rent barely.
You've had Jim Yancey on, which really that helps. And every time that Jim or gets noticed, it really helps us because everyone needs to know that here's one man who has an organization that's actually doing something, and everything that you give to him goes right to the people, you know. And there's been a lot of changes in the last weekend in our mission because we've actually allowed Jim to free up some funds to hire a much-needed worker. And so, we're making a difference there. But we need, it's like Heather Vokish, she made me her person of the month, inspiring person of the month of January on her progressive book, handbook.com, and that helps. And anytime anyone writes about this thing, if they want to do a research on it like your guest, contact me. I'll give you more information than you ever wanted.
Sure, and you can contact Sarge directly through Unreported News.
Right, and that's good to know, Sarge. But I want to point out that that this is a perfect example of right-wing control of the media. A couple of things have come up about the Gulf Coast lately. You mentioned the one about at the Saints games. Everything's fine, you know, when of course it isn't. And then there's also the, cause I have some right wingers who write to me, you know, so I put them on a list and I send them things to yank their chains. Well, they send me things that they think will yank my chain. And the most recent thing that's been going around in right wing nuttery is that, look at Denver. They just had two big snowstorms and what did they do? They just got to work and cleaned it up. So isn't that a lesson for New Orleans? I mean, think about the difference between the two incidents and what happened. Yeah, they had two snowstorms, but they didn't have billions of dollars of damage and destruction and death and so, you know, so many things. It's just amazing that what these people come up with, the meanness and the nastiness cannot be, we can't even figure out what they're going to say. But
well, you know, you make a good point, and it's something that hurts people here, is the governor has really pushed this idea that, well, we're not like New Orleans. We're not whining to the nation. Well, you know, I had a person here in Columbia just Saturday tell me, well, I'm real proud of our people down there after I told her what all had happened, because they're not whining like New Orleans. I said, wait a minute. Whoa, that's part of the problem.
That kind of attitude that is somebody's whining, or let's pit this guy against that guy because somehow that makes us, that does something for us, you know, that part I don't get.
Well, now, even Dave Vincent, who is the station manager for WLOX television on the coast, is adding to the problem, because I asked him, I said, what do you think about the hurricane recovery? He said, it's going great. He said, we're doing better than New Orleans, at least. And I said, wait a minute, this is not a competition. This is not a ball game.
Right, right.
Both sets are struggling. I live 96 miles from New Orleans. I live 85 from Gulfport. So I'm right in the middle of both areas, you know. And I frequent both of them, or used to. And it hurts me. In fact, I was born in New Orleans. And it hurts me to see New Orleans like it is. It hurts me to see the Mississippi coast like it is. And personally, I want both of them done right.
Well, there's something beyond that. I mean, if we take the attitude, or if, you know, if we help build the concept of working together and cooperativeness and so on, the kinds of things we can build on is to think about what this tragedy means in terms of all of our coastlines.
That's right.
As global warming progresses.
Well, not
sure. I mean, in Georgia, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Okay. This is something Greg Pallas has said, and it's something that we really need to publicize, too. Did you know that for 1 month, cost of the war in Iraq, there is a professor down at LSU that has a program that would work, and for that cost, we could almost hurricane-proof the entire Gulf region.
For
we
one
could,
day?
Yes.
Isn't that Dutch guy?
He's a professor at LSU. I don't.
There was a Dutch guy that was on television right after Katrina that I loved. He was so sensible.
Well, now this guy is a professor at LSU.
Yeah, a professor at LSU who was from the Netherlands. Yeah.
Well, that's probably.
Well, I think you're talking about all the hurricane proofing there. Let me get a word in. one of the reasons. No, I'm sorry. No. You know, I love letting you guys let guys talk on, but I wanted to get this point in.
Yeah.
One of the reasons why the hurricane hit so badly was because the developers took all of that swampland that was like a good buffer for the hurricanes and tried to develop it.
Yes, that's
and that was
the
reason why. Yeah. So you know, it wasn't the whole reason. Another reason was they never really did any serious work on the levees. They never tried to address the problems. It was like
when
the Cuyahoga River caught fire.
Let me correct you there. The Corps of Engineers did a good job in that area for many, many years, other than the fact that they never acknowledged the fact that the Mississippi River needs to overflow its banks every now and then. And that's
mm-hmm.
the way the whole southern area there, the whole delta of Mississippi, the whole Louisiana delta was built, was that the Mississippi would overflow and then all the silts would, you know, trickle down into those areas, and that's how it all was built. But there
right.
are a number
that's
of,
how it becomes fertile. Yeah.
Yeah, and a number of things that were ignored when they levied up the Mississippi River, and you know didn't for years and years and years never let it flow through the locks that they have that let it flow into other swampland and things like that. So there were some mistakes made, but I believe that the Corps of Engineers had the best interests of Louisiana and the wetlands at heart, and I think it was, you know, I hate to say that right wingers are responsible for everything, but this business of we can't pay for no government, we can't, you know, all that stuff that just keeps us from being the best nation that we can be.
Okay, my reporter in Louisiana just notified me that the Corps has rebuilt the levees back to a Category 3 specs, and the levees have spillways with the locks.
Category 3?
Yeah, which is, you know, that's not good. Hey, listen, I'm going to get out.
But that
was
the money they were given, you know, with
yeah,
the directions.
Really. Dang, Bush, I hate that man. You know that?
Listen,
I'm going to get off because I've been kind of rude with your time, ma'am. I apologize.
No, that's okay, Sarge.
you brought up some things that are very important for us to think about in a number of different ways, and I'm glad you called.
Well, ma'am, anything I can do to help you get the word out about it, you contact me, because I really appreciate everybody's voice that's speaking out, because somebody needs to speak on this. It's really rough.
You're right. Thank you, Sarge.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay, thanks, Sarge. Listen, what we're going to do, it's a little early now. Carolyn, can you hang around for the last half hour? What the heck?
Sure.
I like having a guest.
Why not?
It was nice. And what we're going to do is we're going to take, it's a little early, but we skipped our 15-minute break. We'll take the bottom of the hour break now, if that's okay with Zach. Zach is producing the show. We'll take the 15-minute, we'll take our little break here now. So if you do want to call in, you got a half an hour, 1-877-443-2366. And we'll be back with more with Carolyn Kay from MakeThemAccountable.com. We'll be back.
The United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights meet your most complex needs by providing productivity, competitiveness, reliability, accuracy, safety, leadership, and professionalism. Millwrights from the United Brotherhood of Carpenters are problem solvers. They accept any challenge and approach every project with the highest of competence and training. The UBC has thousands of professionals who can be at your service, giving you the best in business, anytime and every time. The Head On Radio Network is proud to be sponsored by these wonderful men and women who are building the American dream every day. Thank you from the Head On Radio Network.
Are you still looking for weapons of mass destruction? Concerned about the future of the Supreme Court? You want to know how government bureaucrats are changing Social Security, overtime pay, or the environment? Maybe you just want to know if the president's lying to you, or when our troops in Iraq can finally come home. I'm Mark Levine. I've got the inside scoop. When you want to know what's going on inside the Beltway, you need a Beltway insider. Someone who's worked in the government and still has sources willing to give you all the news from Washington the government does not want you to know. So for lively debate, reasoned opinion, detailed analysis of history and policy, or just a point of view you don't hear expressed in the mainstream media, tune in to the Inside Scoop. Feel free to call in too. Agree or disagree. All opinions are welcome. It just might make you think. That's the Inside Scoop, weekdays at 2 p.m. Eastern, 1 Central, 11 o'clock Pacific, right here on the Head On Radio Network.
If you or someone close to you has a hearing loss, here is some great news. Thousands of Open Caption videos are yours to borrow, and it's all free. Open Caption videos make it possible for the hearing impaired to understand television. The Caption Media Program offers classic Hollywood movies, special interest, and educational videos. Visit us online at cfv.org or call 1-800-237-6213. You can register to be a user and make your selections from our online or a printed catalog. It's just that easy, and we'll even pay for the postage. Open Caption videos are perfect for the classroom, your home, or even the workplace. The nonprofit Caption Media Program is funded by the U.S. Department of Education and administered by the National Association of the Deaf. Tell a family member or a friend about the Caption Media Program today. Bookmark cfv.org for free loan Open Caption videos or call 1-800-237-6213.
This is the Head On Radio Network.
Okay, it's the final half hour of the Cup of Joe radio show here on the beautiful, wonderful Head On Radio Network. I want to say hi to Zach, our engineer, who's producing the show today, and he's doing a hell of a job. And I want to say, again, thanks to my guests, Carol and Kay, for being here. And it's always nice to have a guest, especially when you have Sarge on there, too, or I can just sit back and listen, and you guys can all do all the work.
We do the work for you.
That's right. Listen, I wanted to bring up a point real brief. It's a point I've made before in the past, and I want to get your impressions on it. Years ago, when people got the news, most people got the news via newspaper or maybe some radio. But I'm talking about back in the 40s and the 50s and stuff like that. Television hadn't really hit it big just yet. It was just starting out. And most people got their news, like I said, from newspapers. And the beat reporters in the newspapers in the cities and in communities basically made roughly the same kind of money that everybody else made. I mean, you know, you're a construction worker, you're a beat reporter, you're making the same kind of money. Nowadays, most people get their news from television. And even local television anchors make very, very much more than what your average worker is going to make. In a lot of cases, in the bigger cities, you're talking six-figure salaries, maybe even seven-figure salaries.
Yeah, certainly in Chicago.
Yeah. Do you think that that's like a chain around the person making that much money that they're afraid to speak out because they lose their job?
They call it golden handcuffs.
Golden handcuffs. Oh, that's a good. I never heard that expression before. That's very good.
Yeah, that's the term that top management uses when they've got somebody captive and having them do exactly what top management wants them to do instead of what they think is right or what they see or observe or whatever. Yeah.
Or do you think maybe some of them are addicted to the golden handcuffs? I mean, like that,
sure.
That they don't really care about the news that they're saying so long as they get paid.
Exactly. In fact, there are stories posted on the internet about Jack Welch of GE and Tim Russert. You know, Tim Russert was a speech writer for liberal politicians in his early career.
Mm-hmm.
And Jack Welch was very proud of the fact that he basically turned Tim Russert. You know, the fact that he paid him so much money that he couldn't resist saying the kinds of things that he knew would please Jack Welch instead of what was actually true about what was going on in the nation. And that
right.
is pitiful. I mean, that is whoredom.
Yeah, that's basically it. You know, when you're selling your, you know, and the thing about it is they make actual whoredom illegal, right?
Right.
You know, real prostitution, which is very straightforward and honest, and look, here's what I'm selling. It's right out here in the open, well, as much as we can legally do. And, you know, that's it. And that's the transaction. That's illegal. But, hey, here's a lot of money. Let's tell lies about corporations or let's tell lies for corporations. Let's lie people into going to war. And, hey, that's perfectly fine. That's business.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So,
and think about the effect of conglomeration of the media. It also used to be the Tribune, for example, the Chicago Tribune was locally owned.
Right.
The Chandler family owned the Tribune or most of it. And that was true of many newspapers across the country. I remember my hometown is Lake Charles, Louisiana. The Lake Charles American Press was a big money maker for the family that owned it. And but what has happened across the nation is with conglomeration, the families have sold out to news services and chains and whatever. Those chains provide more clout. They provide less local coverage, more clout against the reporters or for the reporters to basically please advertisers and please top management and please rich ownership as opposed to telling the Americans what they need to become good voters.
Right, exactly. They've not, you know, it's news for profit, and, you know, that's always going to be lowest common denominator. You know, hey, let's put the car crash on, never mind talking about complicated issues. Because, you know, for most people, complicated issues are boring. We don't want to see all these numbers and names and charts and stuff like that.
But you know what's amazing? Complicated issues can be made interesting. Look at The West Wing, for example. Did you watch that series?
No, it was one of those things. I kind of sort of wanted to watch it, but it was just always on at an inconvenient time.
Well, you don't have cable, but for those who do, it's being replayed. Many of the episodes are being replayed on Bravo Network. And so you can see all the ones that you never saw, which I never did because they're on too late for me, you know. And it wasn't until I got a recorder for Christmas that I could watch those kinds of shows. But
you know the really sad thing is that I really haven't. Well, I don't think it's a sad thing actually. Is I don't pay as much attention to current television as I used to. Most of my I'm still stuck in the 70s and 80s. You know, all I watch is old reruns of Doctor Who now.
Oh, I understand. Believe me, I went through a serious depression many years ago, and after that, I said I quit reading newspapers. I quit watching local news. You know, I did not want to know about the babies abandoned in dumpsters and things like that. I couldn't. I just couldn't. I couldn't handle it. You know.
Right.
And but I do like to watch some of the old TV shows that have been rerun on the cable channels, and that's primarily why I have cable. That plus it's my I get my internet access through the cable.
I got to tell this story before we continue because
okay.
You reminded me of something that happened a few weeks ago. My roommate and I were watching the local Chicago news, and I think it was the Fox one. And usually Fox local news isn't generally that bad.
Right.
Not as bad as their cable news. But in this case, their lead story, this was their lead story, okay? With all the other things going on in Chicago, this was their lead story, that some schoolgirl was left off with a school bus like 5 blocks away from her home and across the street. So she had to cross the street and go 5 blocks to go home. That was
oh,
the lead story.
Oh, my God.
And we're like, this is a lead story? Didn't anything happen in Chicago today? Wasn't there a beheading or something? You know, one of the football players arrested for something? No. Oh, and my roommate, who was like a total Chicago guy, is like, what, the kid couldn't walk 5 blocks? You know, and then we're sounding like our parents. You know, we used to walk 4 blocks. You know, we used to walk 40 miles in the snow, uphill both ways. Yeah, on our knees, uphill both ways. What is that old Monty Python routine where the guys were basically trying to top each other about how difficult their lives was, and the last guy was right. We used to have to get up in the morning at 10 o'clock at night, half an hour before we went to bed, eat a lump of dry poison, work for 48 hours a day at the mill, and when we got home, our dad would kill us and dance about in our grave singing hallelujah, you know? And it's like,
well, it's
so
not,
we're starting.
It's not really news anymore. It's entertainment.
Yeah,
and,
yeah. Infotainment is what they call it.
Yeah, because, but the way they go about it, instead of trying to make it interesting the way West Wing did, I mean, the people would be discussing some legislation or whatever as they were walking down the hall, and one would be saying, but I don't understand, how could it be blah blah blah, and the other would say, but you see, it's like this, it's like, because these were people that were obviously engaged in the situation, engaged in the issue, and were trying to understand each other, which, you know, we almost have none of
in real life.
Television. We have people yelling at each other. We have heads pontificating. We have, and usually the ones pontificating, the ones making all the money, as you mentioned earlier, are the ones who are wrong about everything.
Right, exactly.
They're wrong about everything.
I mean, if we had that kind of track record in school, we would never have graduated.
That's,
you know,
right.
We'd still be in kindergarten.
That's right.
But, you know, you might as well get the psych. You know, somebody took all like the National Enquirer and the Globe and all these psychics, and they went over all of their predictions for like 1 year, and they compared them to what actually happened. And I think the average ratio of how correct they were was something like 0.01%. And yet these people were paid lots of money just to make these really ridiculous predictions. Well, I believe that Bing Crosby will come back from the dead and marry Britney Spears. What?
Gee, you think
you know?
Have at least a 50% chance of being right on
these. Yeah. Oh, well, you know, we're going to go into the war, and Dick Cheney said that we're going to be welcomed as liberators, and they'll throw flowers at us. Well, what they didn't tell us was that the flowers would be, you know, explosive flowers.
Interestingly enough, there was a magazine for a while that was started by a Stephen Brill, who made a lot of money with doing a legal reporting newsletter or magazine, and then parlayed that into Court TV. He started a magazine in the late 90s called Brill's Content, and to me, it folded because they weren't hard enough on the media for, it was supposed to be about the media, and they weren't nearly hard enough on the media for the horrible coverage of Bill Clinton's sexual dalliance. And but he had a feature where they took the predictions of the pundits, the Margaret Carlsons and the Robert Novaks and the, all these people, you know, and they would take what they predicted about what was going to happen, you know, with whatever was the issue of the time, and then they would score them the next week or the 2 months later or whatever. The highest score any of them ever got was like 33%.
And that's just
a situation where it's got to be 50-50. You know, either the invasion of Iraq will be a success or it will be a failure. So you only have a 50% chance of being wrong on that. Okay.
Well, you know, the thing about it is, you know, and what Mr. Bush is doing with the way he's doing things, and Paul Krugman pointed out in his article, it's not a Hail Mary as the professional pundits are calling it. What it is more like what they were doing at the savings and loan. We're just trying to keep it delayed long enough so they can hand it over to somebody else.
It is a Ponzi scheme. It is the typical Texas way of doing things, doing business. And you know, as far as I'm concerned, I think we need to get Texas out of politics.
Well, you know, the Texas people really screwed themselves over because they worked so hard to win, you know, unlosable districts for their Republicans, and then all of a sudden the Democrats take over, and you have no Texans involved in the House leadership in any way, shape, or form.
Well,
so, you know, they screwed themselves over.
<They're>
You know what I mean? What I mean is because it's mostly Republicans, and there's not many Democrats anymore in the Texas.
I grew up in Louisiana, so right. In fact, just 30 miles from the Texas border. So, in growing up, I used to wonder why the Democratic Party was made up of such very liberal people and such very conservative people.
Yeah.
Okay. And because the conservatives were the ones that I saw around me, you know. And
right.
The Republicans started this strategy of kind of halfway sort of supporting racism. They called it their Southern strategy. It started around in the Nixon time. And
well,
they were.
It started with LBJ, right? When he signed the Great Society legislation, he said we just lost the South.
There was definitely that. And there was also the fact that, you know, all them uppity blacks were demonstrating, you know, like they want to be equal or something, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Who do they think they are?
Who do they think they are? And so there was that going on, and that was scaring people and making people angry. And so the Republicans said, okay, we're going to take advantage of that. And to this day, the right-wing nuttery folks that write to me still say that there was no such thing, and they'd like to send around. They like to send around this email that says, "What party did the governor belong to who stood who kept the kids from going to school in Little Rock and blah blah blah?" And they go one after another. So I made an answer to that that's still posted on my website that says, what party is it today that the governor would belong to if he stood in the doorway of the Little Rock High School and kept, you know, black kids from going there? And
what do you think Mr. Lincoln would say to find out that the party that he was the first president of, you know, or the first guy elected president from that party, that they were the ones that are now flying the Confederate flag?
Yeah.
What would he say about that?
He would be devastated. He would be devastated.
Well, listen, Carolyn. Let me end it here with this because we're coming on the next to last break, and I don't want to keep you on for the whole 2-hour show.
Okay.
Because you know you've got other things to do with your time. Well, I don't know. Do you want to hang around for the last 15 minutes
or
so?
Well, why not? This has been
sure.
enjoyable.
You know, it's really nice. We kind of gone a little off topic, but that's okay because I want to talk about the media, but I also want to talk about more of what we can do. But let's take our final break here. And then we'll come back for the last few minutes. And if you want to get in a phone call, you got one last shot at it, 1-877-443-236. Carol, I really like having you on the show. Carolyn, it's really nice having you on. It's nice to have somebody to talk to for a change. I'm usually just doing this by myself and rambling on and boring the hell out of everybody. So, all right, we'll be back with more of the last few minutes of the Cup of Joe radio show here on the Head On Radio Network.
Sweetie, I love you, but those jeans have got to go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Huh?
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days. Surprise.
HeadOnRadioNetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to the horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweats. Great prices? No sweats. Great looks? No sweats. No sweat at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
What's a conversation like on Head On with Bob Kincaid? This is what it's like.
Let's go. Let's talk to our good friend Phil down in Daytona Beach, Florida. Hey, Phil, welcome to the program. Good to hear from you.
Thanks, Bob. Good to hear you, too. I want to remind people that the military take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. And when people say they're fighting for our freedom by defending the Constitution, which defines our freedoms and supposedly is there to protect them, that's what it really means. Not doing whatever this outrageous civilian leadership dictates that it does.
Head On with Bob Kincaid. Conversation at its finest. Weeknights, Monday through Friday, 6 to 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Only at Head On Radio Network and chat at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com.
At this moment, more than 800 million people are hungry. Millions more live in poverty. And you wonder, what can I do? Join the thousands of caring people who let Heifer International be their helping hands in the world. Right now, from Appalachia to Zimbabwe, Heifer is helping thousands of families become more self-reliant through the gifts of livestock and learning. Heifer provides farm animals that produce milk, eggs, and other products. That means milk to drink and products like cheese to sell. Having income means families can have better housing and health care, and their children can go to school. And recipients share their success, passing on the gift of their animal offspring to other families in need, ensuring dignity, self-reliance, and hope for the future. Find out how you can make a difference today at heifer.org. That's HEIFER.org.
This is the Horn, the Head On Radio Network.
Okay. I was waiting for the music to die down there. There we go. I have been told about that. Wait, Joe, wait for the music to go down, because otherwise you won't be able to hear you over the music there. So it's kind of hard sometimes to tell with the headphones on what's going on. Okay, we got about 10 minutes or so left. Carolyn, I want to bring in an article here. By the way, your top news item on MakeThemAccountable.com is a really, really good one. The Bush refuses to waver on Iraq, and he was on 60 Minutes last night, and I absolutely did not watch it, because every time I see the man, I want to throw a brick.
Yeah, I can't watch him either.
And but he was seeing, I saw a little clip of it, and they were like, You know, you're very unpopular now, and the war is not very popular. Does that really, you know, affect you? And he's, no, it doesn't affect me at all, you know. And he's saying that the Congress doesn't have the right to stop him if he wants to go into Iran or escalate the war in Iraq, that he's just going to do it. And, you know, and I wonder if there's a lot of...
little foot, and he can do anything he wants to do.
Well, you know, he's gotten away with so much so far. Yeah. I mean, that's the scary thing. I mean, and all the people talking about impeachment, and hell, I'm all for that. But it will take, by the time it, you know, all the stuff gets done, it would, you know, he'll be out of office. You know.
Well, let's see.
It would take about 2 years.
When they started the impeachment investigation of Nixon, it was at least 2 years into his second term.
Uh huh.
I think I'll have.
But
to
if
look
he had.
Up.
If he hadn't resigned, he still would have been president while the thing was going on, I'm pretty sure, because he would have been able to finish
his
term.
Right, but he resigned because even, you know, it was Republicans who went to him. It was, in fact, Barry Goldwater and some of the others that went to him and said, you're dead, bud.
Right.
No way.
And one's going to do that with Mr. Bush, and even if they did, he wouldn't listen anyway. You know, they gave him that whole... That Iraq little group thing that they had that was run by James Baker, and that was basically to give him political cover to get out of Iraq. And he's saying, you know what, I'm going to escalate it.
Yeah.
So he feels like, and you know, through his signing statements, like the thing with the mail, where he basically says, you know, he'll sign a law and says, but you know, if I think the law is in my way, I'm just not going to obey it.
Yeah.
And I had one guy on a right-wing website say, you don't even know what a signing statement is, do you? Because, you know, that really doesn't have any legal bearing, which is absolutely true. But the point is, if he does go ahead and break the law, what are we going to do to stop him?
Right. That's when you have a real constitutional crisis. And the problem is, again, with time. You know, it may be that federal courts and eventually the Supreme Court will come out against what he has done, which we say is breaking the law, but that'll be years later, you know. So in the meantime, he's been able to happily, merrily go along doing whatever he pleases and whenever he wants to do it, and he's basically getting away with it. Here's what the right-wingers do not understand. And again, you know, these are the kinds of things that need to get out into the debate, into somebody, you know, listening to this kind of stuff. Whatever power you grant to the guy you like and you trust, I know it's crazy, but these people like him and they trust him, will be available to the next president too. And the one
in theory.
The one I like to throw in their face is Hillary Clinton. I said, "What? All these powers that you are giving to George Bush are going to be available to Hillary Clinton when she becomes president." That, of course, drives them crazy because they hate Hillary Clinton.
Oh, boy, that's like, you know, as much as we hate George Bush, and let me tell you something, you know, when I talk about hating George W. Bush, you know, part of it is on a personal level because I think he's just a snotty little kid who's never grown up and who's never had to, you know, be accountable for anything, for all his screw-ups. I mean, all the screw-ups I've made up, I've paid for in a serious, serious way, okay? But what I hate mostly is just his policies, what he's doing. You know,
right.
I mean, if after 9/11, George W. Bush would have gone out and said, you know, this is a real serious problem and we're going to tackle it in a serious way. We're not going to panic. We're not going to do something stupid just for revenge. We're going to talk to our European allies. We're going to really fight terrorism. We are going to go into Afghanistan and actually capture Osama bin Laden and put him on trial in a world court, blah, blah, blah. If he had done all those things, you know, I would be all for it and behind it.
Right.
But I saw immediately, and actually,
in fact,
you know, the first thing...
I actually gave him a couple of weeks. I said, okay, you know, I'm going to stand back. I'm not going to not be so hard on, you know, what's on them and so on. And then I read that Willie Brown was warned not to fly on September 11th. And then I read that some military people, this was in Time magazine, that some military people in the Pentagon were warned not to fly on September 11th.
Yeah, there was this is definitely an inside job of some sort.
All sorts of things. Well, I don't know. I can't go that far because we don't have enough information to go that far.
I think this is what I honestly think. I think they knew something was going to happen. Yeah. Maybe they didn't know specifics. Maybe they knew what date it was going to happen.
Yes.
But I think they had simply allowed it to happen.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the first words that came into my head, and this was the day of 9/11. This is while this was all going on. The first word that came into my head was Reichstag.
Yep.
Because that was exactly the excuse that Hitler used to grab a lot more power. Now, Bush did it a lot more slowly than Hitler did, but we have a different type of political system than Hitler had
right
back then. But if you listen to Hitler's speech after the Reichstag bombing and Bush's speech afterwards, they're almost, I don't want to say they're verbatim, but the psychology is still the same, pretty
right
much. And the speech that Hitler gave before they invaded Poland was basically the same type of speech that Mr. Bush gave before they invaded Iraq, you know, pretending that people are an enemy when they really aren't.
But
and
they were
it's
socialists,
very hard.
The Nazis. They were socialists.
Oh, yeah, the National Bolshevist Party is the party. Yeah, yes, Mr. Hilter with the National Bolshevist Party. Yeah.
Yeah, these people don't understand that totalitarianism has no ideology. It's all about
yeah
power. Whatever gets you the power, gets you more power, keeps the power. That's
right
what it's all about.
Well, fascism and Nazism in particular was purely power politics. And,
yes,
you know, we've got fascism here in this country. What was that? That person wrote the six. There were 16 defining characteristics
yes
of fascists. And we actually have each one of those characteristics right now.
Yes.
And among those are corporate control of media.
Right.
And corporate control of politics, and really,
corporate
as
interaction. I mean, you can't tell the difference anymore between government and corporations, and
right
that's one of the signs. Yes, because it puts too much power in the hands of too few people. And
right,
that is
and that's
not
the very thing. Right, that's the very thing our founding fathers, when they created this country, were seeking to avoid.
Exactly.
You know, because I've been doing a lot of research, because I've been doing work on the Electoral College, and I've been doing a lot of research into, you know, the Continental Congress and how our system came into being. And I was really, really surprised. And, you know, I think a lot of people get the idea when they talk about the Founding Fathers that they really had a set idea of what they wanted for a country, and they really didn't. Almost everything was a result of just compromise, saying, well, this is what we can do at the time, and let's leave it for future generations to fix it up.
Right. But then generations aren't allowed to fix it up because the Constitution is like the Bible. It was handed down
right
from God and blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, exactly.
Let me
and,
just
you know,
one thing, if I may. If people would go to Google and Google progressive media strategy, they'll find a PDF file that I wrote. It's 2.5 years ago, so it's out of date in terms of, you know, the Democrats winning last November. But it has some ideas in it that I really would like to get feedback from people on to see, you know, what we can do to make the our own media, which is what I think we have to do, create our own media and therefore put pressure on the mainstream media to start reporting more fairly toward Democrats, Democratic ideals, those kinds of things.
And just the damn truth. Just tell the damn truth. And listen,
That's all it takes, really.
That's all it takes. Well, listen, let me do. We'll do that. And of course, your website is makethemaccountable.com.
Right.
Be sure we make that. It's not .net. It's not anything else. It's .com.
That's right.
And I want to make sure of that. And because we gotta close up here. We're coming in at the end of the show. Carolyn Kay, makethemaccountable.com. It's really been nice having you on the show, and I'd like to have you back on again from time to time. Because
thanks. We
you're great
do it. I had a lot of fun.
It's really good. It's good. It's good. Okay, I want to thank Zach, our producer. I want to thank Bob Kincaid and Agnes Kincaid for putting on the Head On Radio Network. I want to thank Ben Birch of the White Rose Society. Coming up next on the Head On Radio Network is Mark Levine and the Inside Scoop, and he will be talking to Mark Thompson on his show today, and we're really looking forward to that. Carol, once again, thank you very much for being on the show.
Thank you.
And for the Head On Radio Network and for everybody involved, and I'm just waiting for the music to come on here so I can close off officially. I have my little closing, a really nice little jazz song. Here we go. Is that it? I think it's running now. There we go. I want to thank everybody involved again once more, and it's been a real, real gas being here. And I will be back on Friday. Tomorrow at this time slot, we'll have Dr. Bill O'Brien. Until then, this is Joe Vecchio from the Cup of Joe Radio Show on the Head On Radio Network saying, See you later, and hey, hey, get back to work.
I want a cup of Joe. I crave a plate of Dave. Open a jar of John. Don't put anything on. I'll chug a jug of George. I'll sip a mug of Doug. With the creamer of steam, how many more does that leave? Give me a pot of Scotch. Heat up a pan of Stan. Throw in a handful of Dick. That'll do every trick. Upon a tray of Ray, I'll lick a spoon of Sean. Do I need to go on? I want a cup of Joe. Yeah, da 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 da.
This is the Quality News Network. President Bush says Congress cannot stop his plan to send more than 20,000 extra troops to Iraq. The first group of U.S. soldiers for the so-called surge arrived in Iraq today. He also says Iraq should be grateful to the U.S. for all that America has done for it. The U.S. says it doesn't know how long the surge in American forces will last. Iraqi leaders say it should be for at least 6 months. They say less time will endanger the fragile Iraqi government. In Iraq, the country's foreign minister continues to demand the release of 5 Iranians seized by U.S. soldiers last week from diplomatic offices. Iraqis say the Iranians had permission to establish a consulate there. It is the second time the U.S. has abducted Iranians, Baghdad officials say, were invited to be there. In Washington, the Bush administration says though it would prefer to use diplomacy with Iran, it has not ruled out military action. Today, Defense Secretary Robert Gates said escalating naval strength in the Persian Gulf is meant to send a message to Iran that U.S. forces are not overextended in the two wars they are already fighting. In Damascus, Iraq's president yesterday received promises from Syria's leader that his country would assist bringing peace to Iraq. It was the first time an Iraqi official has visited Syria in 30 years. In Baghdad, Saddam Hussein's 2 co-defendants in his war crimes trial were hanged this morning. One of the convicts was the former dictator's half-brother, who was decapitated in the process. In Jerusalem, Israeli Prime Minister Ehud Olmert, Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas, and U.S. Secretary Condoleezza Rice have agreed to meet to resurrect Middle East peace talks. The date and place have yet to be released. In Gaza, 2 Palestinians were shot today by Israeli soldiers. The Israelis say the 2 men were carrying explosives. Some of the nation's largest law firms are calling for the ouster of a Pentagon official who urged Americans to pull their businesses out of companies who allow their attorneys to do pro bono work.